morning again.
Good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those who are worshiping with us online through live stream, thank you for being here and welcome to you as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, not only has your Son come into our lives to be our Savior, not only are you with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but you promised to send your Son back to us, Lord. And Father, we pray that we receive this good news with hope and with joy, that it may help us to actually rejoice and to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all circumstances. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. According to my Advent calendar that I just showed to the children, we have 8 days until Christmas. Perhaps, how many just love this holiday? We got a few hands up, all right? Yeah? And then perhaps there's a couple people, how many, you don't have to raise your hand, but there's also people who, maybe your mind's not really even on this holiday. Maybe there's just so much going on in your life right now that you know, maybe celebrating Christmas this year, might even feel kind of burdensome, right? That happens. Maybe you're going through a time in your life of grief, and so it's hard to celebrate. But overall, I look back on memories, and I have to say, I look at this holiday with a lot of fondness. I remember growing up as a kid, being excited for the 2 weeks off from school. That was awesome. I looked forward to all the sweets and treats, the sugary, wonderful treats that would always seem to be baking this time of year. For the hot chocolate and the lights, the decorative lights. I don't think my dad necessarily enjoyed putting up the lights on the tree and getting, there are times where we actually, because of the house and how it was made, we had the fancy, beautiful ornaments on the white tree, and then we had another tree in another room that was filled with like the fun like little gag ornaments that weren't necessarily as pretty as maybe these ornaments are, but you know, from fun places and memories of things that you should have. We had, for example, my parents had one ornament of Donner, the reindeer Donner, in a hot tub. You know, those funny kind of ornaments, right? I remember that fondly. I can remember being excited for family either coming to Reno, or sometimes as a family we would travel to see other family. I remember driving from Reno and spending some Christmas days in a place called Truckee, California, which is right on the I-80 overpass, almost before you go over Donner Summit, coming into California. And so, guess what you always got in Truckee?
A white
Christmas. Yep, you got a white Christmas. Every time you went to Truckee, you were guaranteed a white Christmas. I loved the Christmas Eve candlelight service. Holding the candles and singing Silent Night was always a precious part as a child. And I'm glad that it's a tradition that we continue, because hopefully the children who are going to come this Christmas Eve will find that to be very special too as well. And hopefully you'll find it to be special as well too. Of course, all these reasons to be excited for Christmas. By the way, did I mention the presents? That was the favorite part growing up, too. How could I forget the presents? Now, I love Christmas for a more mature spiritual reason, if you will, right? It's what it means, what it embodies. It means that Jesus coming down, it means that God is with us, God loves us. God is for us. God is coming to help us. But the story isn't over. It wasn't that just Jesus died on the cross, forgave our sins, and gave us this pass to enter into eternal life after we die. Just like going to Disneyland. You gotta go, you have to have a ticket to get into Disneyland, right? It's not like that, that Jesus just gave us this, said, okay, I died, I rose again, here's a pass, you get into heaven. No. It's true that he did that. But he actually promises to be with us to the end of this age. And he also says that he will return. He is coming back. Did you hear that good news? Yes, we struggle in this world. And yet, Jesus is coming back. Now, every generation of the church has heard Jesus' words, "Behold, I am coming back soon." And so I can't blame every church generation for believing and saying, you know what? I really think that Jesus is coming back soon. And I think that sometimes when that is said, that is meant with, man, it's going to be like maybe within my lifetime or within my children's lifetime. Okay, maybe. We don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. But 1,000 days or 1,000 years is like a day to our Lord. And a day is like 1,000 years to him. So when Jesus says that he is coming soon, on his timeline, that could be completely different than ours. The church of Thessalonica actually was worried, but they missed out. They thought that Jesus came and left them out. Just as I recently listened to the book on tape, driving around, I listened to The Hunt for the Red October, one of Tom Clancy's novels. And the main character, Jack Ryan, is an American CIA agent who was stationed in England for the time being. And this little girl was worried that Santa wouldn't know where their address was, that they were living in England. She was worried that Santa wouldn't be able to find her in England, right? But imagine, here you are, you put your hope in Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you're worried that you missed the boat. Oh, Jesus came and he left you. So Paul writes this letter saying, no, Christ hasn't returned yet. He is still coming. And you who are faithful will be saved and brought, are saved and will be saved. And you will come along when Jesus does come. He will take you where he will take you to the new creation when he comes. But he also leaves them with final instruction, considering the time, considering the waiting. And as Paul instructs this congregation that he's writing to, and it really, it can apply to us too, as we wait for Jesus, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may the whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." All right. We've been given a list of instructions while we wait. Right? Maybe your children have given you a list, parents, of what they want for presents, right? Husbands, maybe you are used to getting a list of instructions from your lovely wife, right?
All the time.
You're not even, and she's not even going to give you an elbow, you know?
No. She already called.
We are given a list of instructions, right? But here we are, given a list of holy instructions to follow in God's word as we wait for Christ's return. How are we doing on that? How are you at rejoicing always?
Yeah.
You rejoice always?
Nope.
No, I don't. Pray without ceasing. Boy, there are some times where I need to remember this. Sometimes a curse comes out of my lips when a curse comes out of your lips. You need to remember we have to pray without ceasing. How are you at being able to give thanks in all circumstances? In every single circumstance. Something goes wrong in the house. Right? A toilet floods the bathroom. Or maybe the neighbor does something in their yard and whatever they do in their house, like maybe they cut down a tree and it falls over into your yard, or maybe they have a leak of water that comes into your house, and then you have to deal with the insurance burden and fixing everything else, right? Can you rejoice in that circumstance? Maybe you're struggling with some relationships that you have. Maybe you're even grieving the loss of some relationships in this world. It is like, Lord, what are you asking me to do? When you are saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, meaning realize that you've received. Live in your faith. Trust in God. That's what is meant by that. Now this is an interesting one. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Okay. All right. Prophecies. Okay. There are probably a couple ways that we could look at interpreting this. First of all, there's the idea of, can God give a direct revelation to your life? Like, God, just speak to me. We touched upon this a little bit last week. I have given a couple of examples of testimonies that people have had where they believe that God spoke to them. Listen, if you have a dream, or you hear a voice that sounds divine or all-powerful, and it tells you to do something. First of all, you want to test it against the will of God, because the revelation of God to his people has come through his word. So I one time was listening to an interview of a Christian singer who said it in the interview that he believed that God told him to divorce his current wife so that he could get married to another woman. God will never tell you to divorce one woman or divorce your husband to get married to another spouse. God will never tell you to do that, because that is not his will. And we know that because the scripture revealed that to us. So if it's something that points you away from God's word and God's truth, it is not from God. So if you ever feel like, if for whatever reason, you feel like you're being led by God to do something, if he's leading you to do something that is contrary to the Ten Commandments or his will for your life, or points away from Jesus, it is not of God. And remember, there is scripture that does say that the devil can appear as an angel of light. Okay, the devil lies to us, okay? This is probably a whole other topic that we could get off on. Let's move forward with this topic. Abstain from every form of evil. Okay. Again, this is a challenge. Okay. I'm going to, just for the sake of talking about the challenge here, I'm going to say that I'm going to give this last part of the list here. We are to be holy and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Okay. I think we've realized there's a lot of law here in this instruction. And boy, if we stack up and we look at how we're doing on this, we're like, man, I do not pray without ceasing all the time. I have struggled with rejoicing in every circumstance. I struggle with giving thanks in all circumstances and rejoicing in the Lord. So here's what we have to remember about our God, and specifically about the theme of this Sunday in Advent. We talked about it this morning when we lit the candle, the pink candle here. It's not supposed to be a Sunday where we focus on the need to repent, but it's a Sunday where we focus on the joy of Jesus and the joy of coming. When you hear the word joy, what synonymous word do you often think of when you think of joy? What word closely relates to joy in our lexicon? Go ahead. It's okay to be wrong. Someone can shout it out and guess. What do you think of when you think of joy? Happiness, right? You think of happiness. So joy seems like it's this emotional thing that sometimes we have. And while I want to have empathy and sympathy, and while I want to be able to also be happy for people, I want to be happy for people when good things happen to them, and I want to be able to have sympathy and empathy when something bad happens to them. Emotion does have its place in our life. That's why we go through these emotions and feel them. But joy, as an emotion, more theologically speaking, relates more to hope than it does with happiness. Joy and happiness aren't the same. In fact, I would say joy relates more with hope and more with logic and knowledge than it does with happiness. Joy does not necessarily equal happiness. I know I'm going to jump for joy if Brock Purdy and the 49ers win the Super Bowl. But perhaps, really, I'm going to be elated and happy. I say when that happens, if that happens, okay, I'll humble myself, all right? If the Niners win the Super Bowl, I will jump for joy, right? But I'll be happy. But joy isn't supposed to be something that is surrounded in something so trivial as your own team winning the Super Bowl. In the scheme of things, your favorite team winning the championship is so trivial when it comes to the most important things, right? Joy is tied in the truth. Joy is tied in the hope. Joy is tied into what God has done for us. And this is why in verse 23, Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May God make you holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The important foundation of this scripture comes actually at the very end, in verse 24. "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." And who is he who calls us? Jesus. And so, when I look at all the things that happen in my life, or when I hear about the things that happen in your lives and the things that you go through, when someone recognizes me at, for example, a Costco and needs to pour out their soul to me, and wow, I'm just reminded how difficult life is for people and just how this world is hard. And there is brokenness, and there is real suffering, and there truly is evil that affects us all. What keeps us going? What keeps us coming back here to this sanctuary? It's hope. It's the peace of knowing that God in heaven is on our side. It's the joy of knowing that this is not forever our home and this is not forever our lot. It's the joy of knowing that God Himself came down to us, not to say, you must live better or else I'm going to throw you into hell. He said, I know you can't do it on your own, so I am coming to help you. And now that I've helped you, I'm going to send my Spirit so that we can so that we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, so that I, as God, can help, continue to help you and sustain you at this time. And guess what? When it's all said and done, that beautiful Son of God, the Lamb of God who has taken away all the sins of the world, the one who John the Baptist prepared the way for, He is coming again. And He is coming to wipe away every tear. He is coming to bring healing to every nation. He is coming to forever punish and imprison Satan so that he can never lie and destroy ever again. He is coming because He loves each and every one of you. It is perfectly understandable. I have sympathy and empathy for people who can say, I wonder why God does the things that He does. Sometimes it's hard to remember and to realize this wonderful truth, that God is good and that He is for us. But yet, how do we know that God is for us? We know because He who knew no sin became sin so that we could know the righteousness of God. We know that God is good and is for us because while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus came down to die for us. And on the third day, He didn't stay dead. He conquered death. And we who have been baptized not only into a death like His, but into a resurrection. That's it, like His. And so, this isn't a season to just look forward to all the ancillary fun stuff that goes on. Yes, there's a lot of fun things that give us wonderful memories and traditions, and those are important. I'm not going to downplay the importance of family traditions and things like that Christmas time. But the true joy comes with knowing that God, that He who is faithful is faithful to us. And He is going to complete this good work. And so, how is it that we are able to give thanks in all circumstances, to rejoice always, and to pray without ceasing? How is it that we are going to stand righteous and blameless before our God on the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? It is because Jesus is coming to help us do this. We can rejoice because of Jesus. We can pray without ceasing because of Jesus. And we can give thanks in all circumstances because of Jesus. It doesn't require us to be happy all the time, because we have been given something deeper than happiness. We have been given the joy of knowing that God is with us and for us, no matter what. and that what we're going through is not the final result in this world of what Jesus did for us, but is only the time of waiting and a time of trying to share hope and joy and peace and love with others. And we do this because Jesus first did it for us. And Jesus is still doing it for us even today. And will continue to do so until the day he calls us home or returns to us. Because he is faithful and he will do it. Amen?
Amen.
And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.